Well, my life's been dramatically changed through faith. I guess there's been several series of events that have brought me faith and then also changed my faith over the years, different circumstances. I like to tell people that while my life has been, or at least was, pretty hectic and crazy, especially as a younger person, there was one constant, and that for me was my knowledge that there was a power greater than myself out there. Now, I wasn't raised in a Christian home at all. I don't think my parents ever told me about Jesus or anything like that, but luckily for me, the Lord, I believe, pursued me even at a young age, and I had several friends and different acquaintances. I was just always super curious about, you know, I like to listen to people talking about. I knew people went to church and did things, but since it wasn't my experience in my home life, I was always intrigued by that. So anytime I had an opportunity to go somewhere, to a church or something with someone, I would go. But, you know, my first experience with Jesus, gratefully for me, was when I was about 10 years old. Yeah, my first encounter was on the bathroom floor in a girlfriend's trailer where she lived. We lived out in the country when I was a kid, out on kind of a farm my dad had put together for us. And I just remember I went there, and her name was Tina Riley. I'll never forget it. I've never been around her, you know, as an adult, but I don't remember a lot of things from my youth, but I do remember this occasion, and I remember that we had gone to some church event, and I was just asking questions, and we were kind of hiding like little girls do in the bathroom and sitting on the floor talking, and she had her Bible, and I think that was probably the first time I'd ever experienced a Bible. And like kids do, not always completely accurate information, but she said, if you want to know who Jesus is, you should read this part of this book. And she turned open Revelations. And I'd never even seen a Bible before. And so I was trying to read some of it, and it looked really scary and crazy, as it would to, you know, somebody that didn't know what that was about. However, what I know to be true was that day I experienced something where I said, I don't really understand this, but as you see how my child life was, you'll understand that I had a real missing of something in my heart. And I didn't have a trust or somebody that I felt really safe with. And I thought, if this was that person, then I needed that person. And so I said, okay, on that floor, sitting by the bathtub, in that girl's, you know, bathroom that day, I just said, Jesus, I want you to be my guy. And I definitely had a true, real experience, still remembering it vividly today, now that I'm almost 52 years old, that's when I found out that Jesus was real. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a little different than necessarily having a relationship with him, but I knew in that moment that he was real and that he existed and that he could be that guy for me. So that was the start of my knowledge of him, maybe is a better answer, but not my relationship with him necessarily. Got here, and I just got sober shortly after that. So I just got to the point where I was sick and tired of drinking. I felt like I couldn't imagine my life drinking anymore, and I could not imagine my life not drinking. And I just, like, I remember I was going to Deerfield United Methodist Church. Again, as soon as I got here, I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to keep trying. Where can I go? Where can I find you? It was as if I was seeking him in a building my whole life. You know, I just kept looking in buildings. Where is he? Maybe he's in this building. Maybe he's in this building. Any church I could go to, I would try. And I can remember I was doing children's ministry there, everything, but I was, you know, anytime I wasn't doing that or work, I was drinking. So I can remember sitting in the parking lot of that church, drinking, sitting outside of it, just crying and drinking beer and looking at the church and saying, I'm going to need you to do something. Like, I can't do it. I need you to help me. Like, I'm begging you. I'm sitting here in the parking lot of this building that you're supposed to be in, and I'm going to need you to do something for me. And So shortly after that, I got what I believed to be a few different little intervention signs from the Lord, and I went to an AA meeting at a church right by where I lived. And the day I walked in there, there was a big dove on the wall and in this room. I remember I walked in and I saw the dove and I was like took my breath away. I was like, the Holy Spirit's here. And I stopped drinking that day, and I never have drank again. You know, it's been almost 16 years since I drank, but I just remember that night. That was it. I knew that I was done. So when my father died, I hadn't drank in 6 months, and I was able to go, and I was able to sing at his funeral and be able to do that. And my brother and sister's, you know, answer to my dad dying was to get drunk. And so I drove, and, you know, again, a really important part of God saying, I'm going to get you through this. I am here. And, you know, I don't know how, but God, that I ended up being sober and able to bury my father and walk my family through that situation. And so I came back, and, you know, and after that is when I really hit my bottom. I did start drinking again, even having watched my father die from an alcoholic seizure. You know, he fell over dead, and I started drinking again. But once that season, that year or so of drinking hit, and I hit my bottom, then that was it. Flash forward back to me walking into a AA meeting. It ruins a little bit for you when you watch somebody die from alcoholism. You're either going to join them or you're going to do something different. And so I was able to go to a meeting and just started working the program. God just finally was, I felt like God, when I walked in that room, he was like, it's time. It's time. You begged. You've been through this. It's almost like I look back now and he goes, okay, I've spared you to a degree. You have gone through all this, but now I've got something for you to do. You're welcome. Now it's time for you to do this for me. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. So I just started working the program and jumped in with, you know, both feet and never looked back. And so I went to AA for about 3 years. And then this is the great part about God. So I was going to Deerfield United Methodist Church, and I was getting into the kids ministry. I was just doing kid ministry. I hadn't sang in years because it just didn't feel right, you know, with everything going on. Right. And the Lord started telling me, he said, I want you to start singing again. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, Lord, if I can. He goes, no, but this can be different. You're singing for me this time. And I was like, oh, I'm singing Jesus music or something. And so I started, that was the first time I'd heard contemporary Christian music. I mean, this was when I was, you know, in my, I don't know, close to 40. So it was interesting that I felt like the Lord was telling me that. But I had a dream one night. Me and the kids had decided that we wanted to check out some other churches, a little bit more contemporary, a little more whatever. And my kids were kind of getting to the teenage years. And I had about 3 years of recovery under my belt, so I was feeling pretty good, you know. And I had a dream one night, and I'd always felt like the Lord, you know, communicated with me at night in my dreams. And I've often said that's probably because it's the only time I shut up, but but I do get a real strong impression from the Lord. And if I know that it's for me to write down, and either it's just for me or for somebody else, he'll help me to remember it vividly and say, write this down. And so this morning, it was a Sunday, and I was driving to this new church we were checking out. And I was talking, and I'm just doing my usual on to church talk. I said, I had the weirdest dream last night. And they're like, Mom, another dream. I'm like, okay, but listen, it was weird. I was in this building, and it was a church or it was a school, but I'm not sure. And I didn't understand why I was there, but there was this real tall guy, and I was like hanging on his leg, and he's dragging me. And I'm like, I need you to teach me about Jesus. And this, in the dream, I was saying, I don't know if I'm in a church or a school. It doesn't matter, but I need you to be my teacher. And they're like, oh God, you're so weird, Mom. What? I'm like, okay. So we go into church and we sit down, and the announcement guy comes up, and the first thing he says, we're all sitting in a row, and the first thing he says, he goes, hey guys, guess what? We're going to be planting a church at King's High School. And my kids look at me and they go, a church in a school? And I go, and their ears did like little doggy things, like, what? We all went like that. And he said, there's a meeting today. and if you're interested, you should come. And I looked at them and I go, I guess we're going to a meeting today. And they're all like, yeah. So that day after the service, we walked into this room. It's the first time I'd ever set eyes on Paul Taylor. I walked in and my middle son, Brandon, goes, he goes, well, there's your tall guy. And I'm like, yeah, I guess here we are. And I just never questioned that that wasn't where I should be. And so therefore I just moved forward with that church plant. And, you know, things just happen. Do you sing? I said, yeah. You want to be on the team? I'm like, sure. Never met the guy before. He's never heard me sing. It was just God saying, here's what I want you to do. Now are you going to choose to be obedient and do it? And so then I just started doing those things. And so I was like, so this guy's going to really teach me about you that I'm going to understand, right? And there's where I learned about my Father and how to process God as the Father. As I started listening to Paul teach, and he started explaining the Bible to me in a way that I could actually understand it and relate to it, I knew Jesus. Jesus was my bud. He was my relationship. He was my everything. The Holy Spirit I could communicate with, and he could give me peace. But now I had this godly Father that he talked about, and it helped me to forgive my father for everything and anything that he may or may not have done. You know, when we're kids, we think one thing, we don't know. As you become a parent, you see things differently. So then I saw him as a father. And then I felt like I finally had this whole picture, this unified picture. And that's where, like, my journey of healing really started. I was sober a few years. I was able to start growing, start seeing, hey, what does it really mean to be a fully engaged follower of Christ? What does it mean for me? For me, it meant healing. It's not about doing. It was about me healing. Because I can't do for anybody else until I can feel okay about myself. And so when we started Celebrate Recovery, I loved AA, but I really wanted Jesus to be a bigger part of my life. And so that was the perfect combination for me, a Christ-centered recovery program. I was like, yep. And they said, hey, you're a drunk, right? Can you be a part of this? I'm like, I'm in. So, you know, that's how I got involved in that. And then, honestly, just working a program of recovery, getting in fellowship. Now I've got this whole community of people that are willing to talk about the same things I've just discussed here. This is how my life was. This is what happened. And then here's what God did. And here's what I do today. I'm not ashamed of it because God forgave me. He doesn't use shame or guilt to convince me of anything. He's just convicted me of where I need to go today. It's not about what happened back then. It's about where I'm going tomorrow. And, it's completely flip-flopped my life, as you can tell. And today, you know, yes, I have two marriages behind me. Are there things I wish were different? Yeah, I guess so. But in the same respect, I look at it and think, there are so many, many, many people that I can relate to in so many different situations. I've walked through, two of my best friends have lost children. One to suicide, one to just a horrible accident. I've been able to walk them through that and help them to keep Jesus in that process because the Holy Spirit has just given me some kind of strange anointing to be able to walk through that with people. You know, I've watched a lot of people die. I've ministered to a lot of families in really difficult situations because God, like, took a long, long time with a long track record to fortify my faith in him. And today I believe that a 10-year-old in a bathroom was given the gift of faith. That's what I believe that was today. And I'll tell people that all the time. I feel blessed to have been given that gift because I've just always known that there was somebody there. I wasn't always participating in the relationship too well, but he was always there, always.
Always.
Mm-hmm.